Hey everybody, this is Mr. Big Mouth, aka Dante, and I'm here, motherfucker, right before I got ready to start this shit, Cicely Tyson is dead. Now, if one more bitch die, I swear to God, we got Betty White next. I can't do this shit no more. I swear to God, like, I just have people dying left and fucking right, I don't know. I need a drink. You know, y'all all know I'm a drunk. I already got this drink in my mouth. But I got the person that's just going to brighten my day up, even though it's cold outside and it's dark as fuck. But as I'm looking at him, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Danny. Hi, Danny.
Hello, Dante. It's good to see you again. It's been a very long time, my friend.
It has been, bitch, like, fuck. You know what? You're the only one I really say bitch to, because we go back a long, long, long way. We go back, Fire Island days, like.
We do. Even before, you know, New York City days, when it used to be New York City before the pandemic.
I know. Well, you couldn't turn around and make up with somebody, and the only thing you had to worry about was herpes.
Oh my God! Do you remember those days? They used to go to up to the DJ and like DJ Lena.
Yes.
And we used to follow that chick. Well, at least I used to, and she used to remember me. And she used to hug me, and then and then used to go to Fire Island, and then maybe she didn't remember everybody, but she just acted like maybe she did. I don't know. I think
who gave a fuck? As long as we got what we wanted when we was there.
That's it. And, you know, when you're in your 20s, you know, you feel special. And then, you know, especially going into the gay community and being accepted.
I'm still in my 20s.
It's a tremendous thing. And then also trying to find same-liked mentalities without the sexual aspect of it.
Bitch, let me tell you, first of all, okay, so when we first met, through a group of friends, and I had just met that other friend, JT. So I had just met JT at the same time I met Alan, I met Alan, then Alan introduced me to JT, and I was like, oh, okay, and then they was like, oh, we got Danny, and I was like, well, who the fuck is Danny? And then hear this one. Hi, everybody. You're ready? I'm ready. We're ready. I was like, who is this bitch? And then I was like, well, let's see if I'm going to like this one. Because, you know, sometimes you get in a car with somebody, they be extra, and you be looking like, okay, because they say some smart shit, I'm going to pop this bitch in the face. But you was a good time the whole entire time. We had so much fun. First of all, I couldn't remember anything because as soon as we got there, I was drunk halfway there. And then I went to sleep half the night.
Yeah, but we used to always take care of each other. But we were a blast.
We had a good time. We had.
And I remember you were the outspoken one, and you ain't taking shit from nobody. And
you know what?
Whatever was in your mind, and you know what? What you said it how you saw it.
Yeah, no filter. No filter. But it wasn't like I was lying. Like
no. No. You give people a dose of reality. You know, New Yorkers can be not transparent or they mostly pretentious.
Mm.
And you just see right through who they are or what they want it to be. And, you know.
But I did it. I tried to do it with class. Like, I looked and I was like.
Oh, absolutely.
I was like, mm-hmm. Why this bitch lying? Because we. Why? Why, friend? Ugh. But we had a good time. Like, I remember, so then, let's give everybody, like, a paint job of Fire Island. So, Fire Island, everybody, it's like going to Never Never Land with a bunch of gay people, right? But they're just majority white. And the black people, majority like the white people. And if you were a black person like me, that's a little bit hood, you probably won't get along with too many Too many of them. Just saying. So the ones who talk to me, like I banked out probably one person there, and like the white guys like me, but I think they were scared of me. You think so, Danny? Like not scared of me, but they just didn't know how to handle me.
They don't know how to handle you. They don't.
They didn't, cause they wanted me to be like, oh my gosh, like dude, oh my god, like you're so cool. Oh really? Oh, where you from? Oh, that's so hot.
I will say this. The African American men or black men that go to Fire Island are majority 50 to 80% vanilla. Where they, oh my God, like I do the storefront, and so therefore, you know, I'm one of you. And you know, no.
Well, Trump
No.
fixed that this year. He was like, no, you're not, friend. 4 years, you found out who your real friends were. Be Karen, Becky, Ken, and all of them.
Nope, they're all pack your shit and get out.
Yes, but to be honest with you, it got boring at Fire Island. Like, if you don't have a thing in Fire Island, it gets boring. So, was we there? Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Was that the time that we both had to go because we had to go to work? You had a client, I had to go to work, and we was like, fuck this shit, bitch, we got to go.
Well, that was one time. Don't forget, we've been there. We've been going to Fire Island since our early 20s. So
Right.
that's 10, 12 years now of going to Fire Island. I do remember, I vividly remember one of the times where I think it was either one of the storms, Katrina or Sandy, and they shut the ferry service down, and it was our last night, and they allowed us to stay. It was our last night, or I think we already checked out of the hotel,
Okay.
the Blue Whale. And
The Coke
they kept telling.
Well. Just to cut you off, that was the Coke Well, because that them burnt sheets and them doodle
Oh,
sheets.
God. Do you remember somehow, for some reason, we took the sheets off where the down off this thing, and you could tell that the sheets were never changed, and we're like, we've been sleeping on this gross thing for like the past 2 days. It was disgusting. And then,
I remember you know when you going to when you sleeping on something disgusting, because you look like the fucking mummy with your arms crossed in one spot, and you was like, I could not stop laughing. And then I was looking and I said, is that shit? Is that a stain? I said, oh, I can't do this. I can't. I was like, I'm sleeping on top of the covers. And I was in like one spot. You was in one spot. We was like, oh, we can't do this shit, bitch.
I know we're trying to sleep around the nasty stains because the hotel did not. I mean, the shower was wrapped in like I don't know, like a plastic, like a plastic shower thing, and then like a piece of wood. Like I felt like I was like back in the motherland, like just showering up in the hill somewhere. Like it was just unattended, one star, but. Whatever. You were there just to leave your stuff because you were really not going to stay there. It was
We
just literally a place to leave your stuff.
and you were so right, because half the time we wasn't even there, or we wind up if you wind up hooking up with somebody and going to their place, and I was missing, you know. I'm known for being missing and fucking, so I was.
I'm not going to say anything out, you know, outrageous Costco size, but anyway, you know.
You know what? You shut your mouth. I am not, you know.
No, but so anyway, so the storm hit, and we got stuck on the island because they shut the ferry service. And the next day, they finally they started the service again for only an hour or two. And what ended up happening was that we finally able to get off the island, but we had our other friend stay on there, and he went missing because obviously he was not staying at home that night. And what ended up happening was that we ended up having to leave and end up taking the train, remember?
Yes, that shit was so fun and funny. And then we had a little spat right before. You was like,
Well, we were always drinking. I mean, we ran out of booze the first day or second day. And then they had the canteen, and they sold the bottles, but they're always overpriced.
Yeah.
And back in the day, we didn't have access to exactly adult money, so we got by.
We was getting by on people's drinks. We was like, hey, no, let me tell you. Anybody, if you ain't never met Danny, Danny can sit down there and make a bird be your best friend and have all the other birds give you seeds, food, whatever you want. So Danny was like, hi, how are you? You look gorgeous. Baby Jersey. You look gorgeous. Oh, where you from? Oh my God. Oh, these are my friends. All right. This is JT. This is So-So. This is da-da-da-da. All right. Yeah. Do you mind if we come in and we have a little time with you? All right. Okay. I was like, who the fuck is this kid? Like, yo, dead ass. Like, he is so, like, vibrant and everybody's loving him. And I was like, I wish I had that quality. And then I was like, well, I kind of do have that quality. It's just a little rougher. So it was just, like, such a fun time. And I loved it.
Thank you for the compliment. It reminds me of some of the things that I don't realize that sometimes I used to do or still do. We used to be on the beach. Remember, we used to be on the beach, and then I used to hear a little bit of music.
Mm.
And after a couple of drinks, it'd be like, follow the music. Just go where the music is.
Yes.
And then we used to end up at people's pools, and then it's, like, oh, and they ordered catering. And then, like, you would make friends, and they used to be like, oh, they're having another soiree somewhere. They're having a little party somewhere else.
Was so you?
Like, oh, come.
Oh, wait. Okay, so that was part one of when we went to Fire Island. Part two was when we got up, we finally got a place, but we had the naked bitch. Remember the naked bitch with the titties? Oh, God,
Robin Bird.
Yes!
She used to be the old, so just so your listeners know who this woman is, Robin Bird used to do porn back in the 80s, and she somehow made it on national TV, having her own show, almost like as if you would like Jerry Springer or, in one of those shows. And then, obviously got cut out and whatever. Well, she ended up saving her coin, and she went to Fire Island, bought herself a huge house, and she rented out to the gays every summer. And that's how she makes her money. Now, the thing is that with Robin is that she's at the end of the pier, and she's older now, and I'm assuming she's going to be in her 50s, 60s. And how she greets you is that...
The 60s, man. She was 60s.
Well, I mean, I'm trying... Well, by now, she's probably 60, 70. Who knows? I don't know. And so, she used to greet you fully nude. And so, like, you're in Fire Island. You're not in the pine side. So what is this fully nude woman doing, here? And but that was her thing. She used to rent to the gays, and especially, it was her season to make money. And we used to have a blast. Well, anywhere we went, we used to have a blast.
Yeah. Okay. So let me be the shady bitch. So first of all, she needs to put some clothes on. Okay. That was the first thing on. But I was like, you're going to be nice to this bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I liked her. She was a nice person. But then she had a flip side too. Because that bitch was staying up late at night on the chair naked. And then you try to bring somebody home to go fuck. You couldn't fuck them because this bitch was being nosy, checking the room. Bitch, why are you checking? We are grown ass men. Maybe I want to suck some dick. Okay? And you is in here checking the room. Why are you checking the room? We none of these cokehead girls. Fuck.
So the whole thing is that we didn't book any of this. Remember JT did. And, that was what was available at that time. But for people who did not know, well, for us that did not know, that staying with her was going to be supervised or chaperoned, obviously we wouldn't have done it. I've stayed in Fire Island before, and we rented houses before. It needs to be like 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 of us. But everybody did their own thing. And, when we cooked, we cooked. When we ate, we had, go jump into the jacuzzi or the pool, or we'd go up to the terrace or whatever. But with her, everything was supervised because, she was worried that we would wreck the place or anybody would wreck the place. But, you know, that's, she's fully naked and supervising. It's just kind of redundant.
It was like I said, it was fun. We had a good time. Like, we met, oh my God, remember when we was on the beach and we was dancing on the beach and I was copying that choreography? You can tell me I was not one of the background dancers.
Yeah.
And the singer was looking at me like, who the fuck is he? Like, he know the choreography. Yes, bitch. I 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You couldn't tell me nothing.
I still have those recordings.
So you do?
Yep, I still do.
You got something to me.
My iPhone 6. Long story short, it was water damaged.
Mm.
But I still held on to it because I was never able to transfer those pictures and videos out of it.
Okay.
You know, for memory's sake. And one day I still held on to it. I never threw it out. I took it to Apple and they said that it's unsalvageable. It's got water damage. Everything's rusted inside. There's nothing you can do with this.
Fucking but Apple.
After a few years later, my new phone, the screen cracked, and I took it to this guy and he fixed it. And I said, listen, I have this old phone. I wonder if you can revive it. I said, I'll pay whatever it is. I'm more about the memories. Took it to this guy and he made it work. So the phone, you can't do anything with the phone. The only thing you can do is just see the videos and you can only see the pictures. I can't download them. I can't do anything because it's got its limitations.
Yeah.
It is broken, but I can still see them. But I'll record it using my phone and I'll send them to you.
Okay.
But those were days when we used to party
fun
with the dancers and we used to get invited to those house parties with the dancers.
Oh my God. So it was so funny. So let me tell you, you know, here on my show, on my podcast, we talk about different things. We talk about androgyny. We talk about feminine. We talk about masculine. We talk about poly. We talk about a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So it was so interesting that time when, of course, you said, where's the music? Knocked on the door. The guys was wearing heels and whatever. I think it was some hill party. And then we came in the party, we started joking around with everybody, and it was like a hill party dance or whatever. They let us in. When the other group of guys had whole dresses and heels, they would not let them in. They was like, no, you can't come into here. It was so disrespectful.
I remember that shit. Hold on. Oh my God. When I used to hear music, I was like, just follow the music. So there was a house. And I was like, I hear music, and they look like they're having a blast. And I knock on the door, and it just so happens that the guy was like, Dario, or something like that. I think he confused me with somebody. He's like, come in. I was like, and then I looked back at you guys, and I said, oh, I'm here with my friends. And they're like, oh, bring him in.
You know,
and we ended up partying with them and having a blast. We partied with them all night.
Yeah, we did. It was so much fun. And I think some of them was, I seen some of them because one person is a talent scout for this agency. And then we wind up meeting this redhead and her two friends. I didn't like her later on because I was like, she's a shady bitch. But other than that, it was a good time. It was a good time. Because, you know, I'm an observer. Like, I'd be like, ugh.
Oh, so yeah, Dante will stand and observe. He'll be very quiet. And it's not because he's not judging anybody. He's just observing to get to know his audience. You know, it's like anything else in life. I observe, you know, and in situation, and for me back in the day, like if you were to put me in a situation like that, I would observe very quickly, react very quickly, and then just be, you know, like sporadic, and hopefully it would work. And 90% of the time it did.
Tell you what you call it. So the funny thing was when we was in Fire Island and she was with us, there was that hotel, what was it called? It was called Belvedere or
the Belvedere.
So anyway, this is an all gay hotel. Big hole on the tail. Yes, hotel. So we go in there to use the bathroom. She's with us, right? So then we was like, oh, okay, she was like, I gotta use the bathroom. We was like, okay. So now all the guys are looking at all of us. They're like, oh, y'all guys are good, whatever, whatever, blah, blah. So they see her. She's beautiful. She's beautiful. Oh my God. So they thought she was trans.
Yeah, there. So the Belvedere doesn't allow women into the hotel, and so they thought that she was a transvestite.
Old man, them old white man was like, oh, she's trans, she's beautiful, oh my God, she's trans. And she was like, no, I'm a woman. They said, oh no, girl,
Oh no,
you
you
gotta
gotta get out.
go go they can stay, but you gotta go.
Oh my God. Oh, we're all so. Well, at least I was very reluctant to get into that jacuzzi at the Belvedere. God
First of
knows what the
all,
fuck they clean this place with.
that jacuzzi was full of STDs and spermicides
Oh
of
God.
everything. And yes, because they was jerking off and sucking dick in it. And I tell you right now, I tell you, I was just like, and then they weren't hot. It was just that, and you know what I'm so sick of? It was just that one black hot black guy, and the rest of them were all old men. And I was like, oh, somebody paying something to stay here. And then they got the little tweak boys and shit that was all over the place. A mess.
It's so funny. Oh, but do you remember it was at that hotel, I think on my way out, I was talking to somebody, I can't remember his name, but he ended up getting us tickets to, I think the tickets were sold out for I think for the
That
concert that night,
concert.
and he ended up getting us tickets because he was leaving the island. He was like, oh, listen, you guys should definitely go, here's some tickets. And we ended up, and those
The
tickets were pricey.
wristbands.
Yeah, they were like $200, $300 a pop, and
That was a good, I swear, that was a good, that was fun.
that's the one thing I have to say about Fire Island. It's the gay Hamptons. You meet a lot of affluent people, and it's like, but then that comes with age too, because a lot of them are much older, and it's like.
So that's our ne that's our next thing. The thing is invest in a house on Fire Island.
Good luck with that one. I mean, it's not so much buying it; it's just the upkeep. I mean, and I tell you that from owning a two-family now. The upkeep, and it's inland. I mean, you can only imagine trying to get repair people in an island, or supplies, for that matter. So, but other than that, you know what? Go play the millionaire. What do you call it? The jackpot or the millionaire or whatever it's
Oh,
called.
bitch, the only jackpot that I'm worried about is a fucking stock. That's better
Well,
lotto than anything else. Fuck.
I hope you traded on the GameStop today, because that's been in the news all day long.
Bitch.
So anyway, so back
I'm
to the
depressed.
day. I mean, so yeah, so we used to meet a lot of folks on Fire Island, and and we used to travel together, and we have tons of pictures together. And then we used to carry that into the city in the summer nights. We used to go bar hopping, and
Oh, those nights.
I've always loved my convertibles, and we used to always hop on and ride down, and
That shit was fun. Hey, we would act a fucking fool
oh, we
on
were
sitting
crazy.
on top of the thing, acting like this is gay in the city and shit. That
Used to
was
love all
fun.
of it.
We had a good time. Okay, now let's go into flashback mode. You went from single wild child at that time. So, who you was dating at that time? We'll just say the cat. No. We'll call him Black Panther. There we go. That works. That works. 'Cause he was African and he was a tall glass of water. What was the attraction?
That's for sure.
What was the attraction besides him being chocolatey?
Honestly, well, the thing is that the story behind it was that we knew each other for a very long time, and it wasn't on more it wasn't it was playful, at the same time. Sometimes it was intimate, sometimes it wasn't. was friendly. So it's had its combination of things that you would look for in a partner, mm-hmm. sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
Except we're young, you know, like we're in our early 20s. Like, you know, you don't really know what is it that you want in life. And, you know, you get this type of attention from a tall, dark, handsome man. And you know, it's like, and me only being like, what, 5'8"? You kind of feel, and he's funny, and you're funny, and you both have similarities, and you're like, okay, this could be a potential type of thing. And so that's sort of what I saw. But then, you know, things just kind of spiraled out of control, and then it was just very toxic.
So very, let's go from the point. Yeah, y'all talked, and then it got to he pursued you, you pursued him, and then.
Exactly.
And then it worked into to the relationship part. Now, what was, if you could remember, what was the first, like, time that it was like, okay, this is just not, I'm not understanding. Like, the first argument or the first thing, like, what the fuck?
I think it was so long ago, it's hard to remember, or I've blocked it out to the point where I do remember, obviously, the being attracted physically and intellectually to this man. But at the end of the day, I've kind of put myself in the back burner, and it was more like about meeting his needs besides mine. And then that's when a lot of people started to be like, what's up with you? Like, you're not bubbly, you're not the same person that I met where you could go to a room and, you know, get all these people together, because I was just more focused on him and not myself. But again, that's me being young. You know, I do remember prior to him, I was in a relationship with like a little bit of an older, not older, you know, by a few years, maybe like 5, 6, 7 years. And now that I'm in my 30s, now understanding that how or why did I not appreciate that relationship, and I chose the toxic one. Mm. And I feel that a lot of gay men, or not even gay, just in general, like a lot of folk, like a lot of people kind of look for the toxic person, because it's like they love the wild and craziness of it. Mm. But then the more they get involved, the more you get sucked into it, and then the more you start to lose yourself.
And that's one of the reasons why I definitely wanted to have you talk about this situation, because I've been finding, talking to a lot of people, they're like, I don't know why I'm always doing these, as someone said, this behavior pattern. I'm always talking to the toxic. I'm always talking to the toxic. And it's like, what is that? You know, do you know my memory is like, I remember everything. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I remember when I can't, I just looked, I gave you a look. Mm-hmm. It was a look. We went out somewhere. We was having a good time. He got a smart mouth. I got a smart mouth. So, it was like,
yep.
Okay, and? And the first time we had went out somewhere, it was like, y'all was just like arguing. And I was like, we having a good time. What the fuck is y'all doing? And it was a good night, too, because we went to a lesbian bar. We was drinking. We left from one bar. Then we went to another bar. And then it was all lesbians. It was all lesbians. And we was dancing our asses off. It was a sea of women. And I was like, you know, there's no dick here. But you know what? I feel safe. I feel good. Lesbians, for some reason, you just feel safe. I don't know why. So we left it there, and then it got to a whole big argument, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I remember that. Remember it was a hole in the car?
Oh my God, bitch. I said, okay, yeah, I need to stop. And then it went from
that. And I think that's the first time when, so, without going into details, there was a hole made on my car.
Yes.
And I think that's the first time Dante had ever seen me flip or rage like that, where you held me back. We were a whole spectacle that night because there was right in front of a restaurant and everybody's looking at us being a spectacle. And I think that's the first time you've ever seen me. I'm a happy person.
Yes.
I'm smiling. I'm very outgoing. You know, I try to find the positive in everything. Dante's never seen me like that before. That was the first time.
Yes. And I was like, what the fuck? And listen, I'm going to say it. That motherfucker kicked his car. I was like, bitch, you don't kick nobody's car. Fuck wrong with you?
And well, then, size foot 14 will put a fucking dent in your car.
And what? And you know, I was looking at, I said, you a big motherfucker, but I'll take something and hit you in your face. Like, bitch.
And I think at that point, he also had not seen me ever rage out that bad. For me to act the way I did was for somebody to hit me.
Yes.
Especially for him to be that big. And he backed away.
Yes, he did. I remember. I pushed him. I said, you need to go somewhere. He said, yeah, motherfucker. I said, I need you to calm down. I said, I need you to get it together.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was like, okay. And then we went out again. Everything was cool. And then I don't know what happened, but something happened. And I said, wait a minute. And it was just like, we was with some girl. It was some girl. I think it was his friend.
Yeah.
Some white girl. It was his friend. And we was having a good time. And she got scared after a while because y'all got into it. And I was like, okay, this is starting to be a pattern now. Like, I can't. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then the very last time was in the summer. And did we have that conversation?
Yes, we did. Where he actually, I think he reached out to you. And I think you put him in his place. You remember that? I forget what he said to you, but he called you and he said something crazy. But I, at that point, you and I already knew that he was going through his own
issues.
And they're legitimate issues. You know, like, it wasn't like he just to lash out. It was...
He had mental issues. Like, I'm going to keep it about... Listen, this is anonymous. You already know. I'm never going to put you in a bad place. So just know that. You know what I mean? But he had mental issues. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to bring the old wounds up. But my main thing is to be helpful for somebody to recognize these things before it gets out of hand. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And, like, for friends who don't know what to do at a time. Because I'm going to be very honest with you. Like, I think I told you. I said, okay, like, this right here, I was like, I can't. I was like, I cannot. I was like, this, I don't do this. I was like, I got a job. I'm not trying to get arrested for beating somebody up, especially you're my friend, and whooping somebody's ass. And I think y'all had took a break or something, and y'all went back together again. I looked at y'all, and I was like, I am not touching that, right?
Yeah.
And we spoke, and that's when you got your titties, too.
My titties?
Yeah, that's when you was working out hard. You had to...
Oh, Jesus. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What titties?
No, he didn't do any trans things. No.
I said, helpful man. What titties are you talking about?
Yeah, that's when you was working out hard. You was like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then... I think he was acting up a bit. That was our boxes. And then he talked to me on the side and we was talking and it was one of those like Mother Dante, like I have to figure out what's going on. And when we had a conversation and I said, wait, what did you say about my friend? And when he said what he said, I said, Danny, this ain't for you. I said, you could do with that information what you want. It's not for you. And it was at that time, it was like, because, you know, I've lost a lot of friends, you know, telling them the truth about their relationships. And I was like, this is a friend that I don't want to lose. So he has to learn for himself. And I was like, I'm going to take myself out this equation and you have to figure it out. And the last straw for me was, you know, you spoke to me, you know, we were speaking, whatever. This motherfucker caught my phone. So this is the one that you don't fully know. I'm at work. Calls my phone. No, I text you, and I didn't know that y'all broke up, I think. I think it was something to that measure. It was like, I text you, and then I text them, and I was like, hey, just saying hi, Black Panther. And then I text you, I said, hey, I'm just saying hi, I haven't talked to y'all in a while. So he said, did you call me because of Danny? I was like, what? He's like, I will put a lawyer out with a cease and desist. I said, well, bitch, we are not on Atlanta House Gay Wives. What the fuck are you talking about? So then you know, I don't do the thug text shit. That does not work for me. So I gave them a call. I said, what's the problem? So they was like, no, because I know you're friends with them. And I said, okay, so let me check your ass. So I said, I'm going to call you later. So then they caught my phone. I said, so what's the problem? So they was like, because I know that he got people spying against me and the FBI. I said, wait, what? So what are you talking about?
That's when you knew that there was something
wrong. I said, this motherfucker, something wrong. I said, something wrong. I've seen it before. I know what this looks like. Like, This is you either have schizophrenia or something else going on with you, right? You know, I got a degree, friend, so I ain't stupid.
No, that's the thing. That was the thing that, being young and not knowing how to recognize, you know, somebody who's mentally ill, it was difficult because you know how many people you know. Or can you know we're in a relationship with somebody who's legitimately mental?
Not a lot of people.
And me being, you know, like my mother says sometimes, younger, you know, ingenuine, like not knowing how to recognize certain things, you know. Mm-hmm. So for your listeners, that's one thing, is that learn your self value, and that person that comes along. There's going to be many people that will come along. And some people, it's not because you're hard-headed. You just don't know how to recognize certain things. Mm-hmm. How do you know how to drive until you actually get behind the wheel? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what dangers are can come up ahead. And so you don't know. And so that's why the older you get, the wiser you become, because you know how to recognize those things. And, you know, it takes friends like Dante to help you recognize those things, you know. So and you should definitely pat yourself in the back, because you recognize it right away, or you know, you knew how to speak at that time, and you still know how to speak and recognize a lot of things. So, you know, but other than that, going forward, after that's really when I met somebody who truly valued me and cherished me and loved me. And I knew how to recognize that. And I knew how to go about that. Mm-hmm. Opposed to the toxic relationship or the constant, you know, battle, which you're never going to win. Mm-hmm. Because them themselves are battling it.
Yeah.
And you lose yourself. So it's like, you're both going against the grain. And that's never going to work out.
How do you... Because there's people who are in their 40s and 50s who are still trying to find a relationship. But what happens is they become bitter because of that relationship, that toxic relationship. How do you yourself leave a toxic relationship like that and say, I can open myself up to somebody genuinely and open-heartedly? Without having that whole, Like it's always good to know the signs of things, but sometimes people take the signs of things and be jaded and like, oh, fuck this, everybody's like this. Or you could have being a Latino man, right, of color, you could have been that person could say, oh, all black men are wrong. Let me go to which black people do, which some other Latinos do, which some white people do. Could come out and say, oh well, all all the people of color are like this. So you know what? Since I had that, I'm never going back to that again. What made you that person? Like, I still like what I like. This does not jade me, and this is what I'm gonna work through.
So that's the one thing that when you go after something like that happens with you, it's very hard. But the one thing that I would advise people to do is be by yourself for some time. Learn to love yourself. Look back at those happy moments and those things that you used to do that used to make you happy. And you will find somebody that respects you, cherishes you, loves you for who you are, doesn't try to change you. You don't tell people how to love you. You accept the love that they offer, but that's in your own terms. You accept the things that it's relationships are give and take. You accept how they want to treat you, and if that's right by you, then it's almost a mutual agreement. It's not written, it's not verbal, but you kind of get that understanding, and that takes time. You're not going to build that type of trust, at the beginning. All you're going to see is the great things in a person, all the fun times that you're going to have. You're going to cuddle, you're going to eat together, you're going to shower together, you're going to take trips together, you're going to do little things, little jokes, little things that bring joy to the both of you. Then it comes and moves on to the phase of meeting the friends. And then essentially meeting the family, and then you start to see a side of, things that annoy you, and you try to discuss them. And if those things continue, you have to adjust them. You have to adjust them because they only get more swept under the carpet. It builds more, and it's no different than you building a mound of dirt under your carpet. And you got to clean it out. And when you clean it out, it's not going to come out in the best way. It's not going to come out, happy, joy, joy, depending on who the person is or who you are. But like I said, at the beginning, in order, if you've been through a toxic relationship or trying to get somebody and it's toxic, the best thing I can advise is, you just be by yourself for quite some time. And in black communities and Hispanic communities, sometimes it's looked down upon seeking professional help, talking to somebody, a professional, a person who is not your friend, a person who doesn't have their best interest at you. They just want to help you get beyond and look at your best potential. They're not deciding for you. They're just helping you realize things in a different perspective, in a professional way. Because my friends can give me advice, but who's not to say that they're jaded themselves and they're trying to impose what their hurt was on me, and then I'm now carrying double the load. I'm hurt. I'm carrying my hurt, carrying their hurt, and you become bitter. And that only doesn't it doesn't stop there. You bring that home. You lash out at your loved ones. You bring that to work. You're miserable at work. You're trying to do your job. You're trying to respond to these nasty messages or calls at inappropriate times. And so that just can just not happen. It's not allowed.
What made you, did you get professional help, and what was the point of you saying I need professional help? Because I talk about this a lot in just about every episode that I do, just to let people of color know that it's okay to get help. You know what I mean? So what was that first time of, okay, I'm gonna seek help. You know what I mean? And has it helped? Well, I know the answer, but has it helped?
I seek a more, so it's a two part. At that time, I went more of a religious route opposed to a professional route.
Okay.
And so I tackled two things. I tackled my spirituality and also my self-being. And so I did it almost like a two for one. And then later down the road was when, I said, I want to talk to somebody just so I can confirm a lot of things. Now, and so I'm fortunate because I was able to go to college and I was able to make a name for myself and be in a very prestigious industry. But at the same time, a lot of folks don't have that. But the help is available to you, whether it's a pastor who is LGBTQ, friendly or ordained, and then also seeking a therapist or a psychiatrist. Either way, if you're able to get your hands onto somebody that can understand you, you will grow, you will flourish, you will be able to understand things in a different perspective, how they happened, why they happened. And now you're prepared for the future. Now you know what to look for and what not to look for without being jaded, without having any negativity, because you can't meet somebody new and be like this. You can't drag that garbage with you because if you don't love yourself, it's gonna show in your face. It's gonna show in your personality. People are not gonna want to be around you. People are not, it's not even about that, but it's nice to have friends, like yourself, intellectuals, people that you can relate things to, and not talk about things that are, negative and pessimistic, and so, like our conversations now at our age is different. It's about building families. It's about sustaining our families. Helping our communities grow. And just being the better version of us.
I still talk about sucking dick because I don't have a man like you do. I'm working on that, but I have sometimes it's like kissing a frog. Sometimes you gotta kiss a couple of assholes and dicks to get the perfect one.
Exactly. And you know what? You're trying to find the perfect pie. It's like a graph. It's like you need somebody is intellectually, for me it's more the intellectuals. You can hold a conversation, you can touch about different subjects. One makes you laugh, another one you gotta be attracted to this person because intellectual can only last for so long, or vice versa. Looks can only take you for so long. The religious aspect of it balances out with the sex aspect of it. You're not satisfied 2, 3 months down the road, eventually that's going to dwindle down, and then one of you is going to start looking somewhere else. You're going to be enticed. So those are the things that you have to be aware of, and those are the things that you have to try to complete in a pie. And then also ambition. Does this person have ambition? Are they looking to, ambition in the sense that, yes, they should be self-sustainable because I cannot be with a person that cannot self-sustain. I'm not, I'm here to take care of my family. Yes, that's not a burden. That's just, they took care of me. The right thing to do is to take care of them. And eventually I want to take care of my partner. But you don't want to be taking care of three people. Your
Got
mother, your
it.
father, your partner, 100%, because that's going to take a toll on you. That's definitely going to take a toll on you. So you need somebody who is business driven as well, or not business driven, but has a position, has education, has wants to better themselves, and constantly support that person when it comes to those things. If they have a work thing and they want you to go with them.
Let me ask you a question. I want to this I want to have you on another one where I don't know if you, because I don't know if you know her, Dani Lane. This is whole big thing with Dani Lane. She made a song called Yellow Bone. Mind you, she's Dominican, right? And the song Yellow Bone is talking about her yellow skin, and she's gray, and the guy wants to get her because she's a yellow bone, right? So you already know Black Twitter went off. Black Twitter was like, this bitch, blah 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 blah. And she is Dominican, okay? And her man is dark skinned, black, but a lot of people are saying, if she would have said she's yellow bone, he wants this yellow bone, and then but all of us people of color, or all the brown girls are just as fine as a yellow bone, blah 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 blah. If she would have worried, the song was whack, that's the first thing, but it was just the delivery came out so wrong, especially with this time. So my thing is, you being a light-skinned Hispanic, have you dealt with like the craziness of, does he really like the black men for who they are and their struggles, or is it just okay, they just look good?
That's where the intellectual part comes. You, as a Latino man, I don't see color because I've dated outside of my culture. And I am attracted to who I can intellectually be compatible with, regardless of color. And the one thing that I do want to say to you about your question is, I think social media affects people. It used to connect us to a certain extent, but now we're too addicted to it. And the one thing that I also did was I got off social media. The only thing I kept was a LinkedIn, because obviously, when I speak about ambition, you're networking with other professionals and you're trying to grow professionally because you have to stay up to date. Like anybody, like a doctor, if he wants to become a specialist, he has to grow and he has to meet with other folks that have experience in that specialty. What specialty do we have looking at social media and becoming bigots, becoming racist, becoming, letting it tell us what to like and what not to like. And then also what I like to call, like a quick scheme. It satisfies you. If you want to get off, if you want to get nasty, if you want to get satisfied, there's so many avenues to go about it. But you're never going to meet the true person because that just ruined it for you completely.
And because I know some of my little big mouths are special, so some of them are slow, and you and me have been friends for years, so I know some of them are gonna come out and say, well, you don't see people of color, there's colors, so first of all, he is basically saying that he looks at their intellect before he just comes out and say, oh, well, you're black and you're Hispanic and you're this and you're that. And he has a attraction to a person of color. So please let me let y'all know that right now, because one thing you will not do is come for my friend. So that's the first thing. And I get it. Like, I understand it, because I have not once seen you be like, wow, I don't know that. That's not my thing, or whatever the case is. You know what I mean? I mean, or not willing to learn something if you didn't know. You know what I mean? But you did. I ain't gonna lie. You did have a learning experience one time. Remember that time when we was
But that's the thing. We're to your point. We're not the same. Yeah. We're absolutely not the same. But we are equal.
Definitely. Definitely.
We are equal. And so the thing is that as much as the things that I've learned in, throughout my life, I want to share with you just like you share things with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're intellectuals. We're trying to better ourselves through each other, and not because I'm Spanish or because of whatever it is. It's just basically we're trying to better ourselves and just be happy. We want to be happy people.
I think that's the awesome thing. And thing is, so I'm going to give a fast spiel because that shit was funny, though. So we seen this gorgeous black woman walking, right? At that time, he was with the Toxis Black Panther. We was going to this party. The black girl, her hair was, she was chocolatey beautiful with beautiful, beautiful afro. And she was just fucking amazing. She was gorgeous. So she says, oh, I just want to know where this place is. So we was like, oh, we'll walk with you and we'll show you. So my boy over here, he says, yo, I love your hair. She's like, thank you. He's like, can I touch it? And he touched her hair. But she wasn't like he asked before he did it. He didn't do what some white people do. It was just, I'm going to grab your hair and say, hey, can I touch it? And Black Panther was like, you don't do that. You don't touch what you call somebody's hair. And like, even if you ask, like, really, we don't want you to touch it. So that was a learning experience for you. And then, of course, I was in the middle. I was like, well, no. He asked before he touched, on top of him being drunk on top.
Yeah, we've cut that. So,
we were drinking. You know. But it wasn't malicious. It wasn't trying to be an asshole and stuff like that. And I, you know, so we're on a countdown because you know you and me can talk forever, but I know you have to work early in the morning. And just to get you at this time was fucking awesome because you
it's been months
because you stay booked and busy. But we are gonna do another part to this. But what I wanted to come out and say is I'm happy for you getting to the point that you are now from what you was before. You was great before, but you evolving like a little Pokemon. You evolving into who you are now is one of the great things. And I think you are a real representative of what a majority of people should be as far as, look, I came from this part. I grew into this. Now I have this. Now I'm working towards this. And I'm not done yet. I'm going to the next level. You know what I mean? I mean, I think that's fucking awesome. And like you said, as intellectuals, we can have these conversations and say, you know what? I didn't know that. I'm willing to learn this. And I'm going to the next stage. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, but we're on a countdown. Danny, I'm so happy to have you. Definitely so happy to have you. And we're going to talk more. I want to invite you before these minutes go up. I'm working on trying to get a panel of different Hispanics and Latinos together, right? And mixed, to have a conversation about our community, about light-skinned Hispanics, dark-skinned Hispanics, privilege, non-privilege, and all that other stuff. So, it's been like months and months and months I've been trying to get this fucking shit together. But I'm definitely asking you to come because, yeah.
I welcome it, and I thank you. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be asked. And, you know, like I said, it's great to be at this point of our lives that, you know, that you're part of you have a podcast. And I always knew you were going to have your own show or you're going to have do something because every time we used to get together, you wasn't talking to me, you were talking to somebody and you was enlightening somebody. So, you know, kudos to you.
You've done
great for yourself and you're going to continue to do great for yourself. So please, thank you so much for inviting me and I accept your offer.
Well, thank you for even accepting the offer. Thank you for sitting there and coming through. Motherfucker, if you told me that then, I would have been like, me, Ashel, no, please. I don't want to talk to nobody. I just want to have my drink and be left the fuck alone. But, you know, sometimes people seeing you, what you don't see in yourself. So, everybody, This is the night. Have a good night. This is Mr. Big Mouth out, and let's just have a pray, a little pray to Miss Tyson for all the work that she's done. Everybody, have a good night.
Good night, everybody.